Fairfax News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Guerrero.
26 days to go before Election Day as the campaign finish line starts to come into view. I'm Margaret Guerrero sitting in for Charles Feldman today. Our Mike Simpson from LA's Morning News. On today's Countdown 2024, major reforms for LA County's government will be on the ballot next month, but let's be honest. I mean, how many voters really know about this or even care about LA County government and how it works? That's why we have Supervisor Lindsay Horvath here. She is the chair of the LA County Board of Supervisors to explain it to us all. We will get the Supervisor Horvath in a minute. But first, this.
Hurricane Milton moving beyond Florida. Significant damage, right? But not as catastrophic as originally feared. There is still, though, plenty of misinformation about the cleanup efforts. President Biden had a news conference this morning on the federal response and was asked about the criticism that's coming from Donald Trump.
Mr. President, have you spoken before President Trump at all?
Are you kidding me? Mr. President Trump, former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
Some Florida Republican members of Congress ditching the conspiracy theories, calling for Congress to reconvene, come back for an emergency session to approve increased funding for FEMA.
And it seems to be official there will be no further debates between Trump and Kamala Harris before Election Day. The Trump campaign let a CNN deadline to decide on their proposed debate pass after Harris had already agreed to tangle one more time with the former president on October 23rd. Instead, the vice president has agreed to participate in a CNN town hall on that date. CNN also invited Trump to a town hall event, but they haven't responded yet.
And Bill Clinton hitting the campaign trail for Kamala Harris. Is he going to dust off that saxophone? What do you think? He'll hold rallies in Georgia and North Carolina starting this weekend. Former President Obama also hitting the trail. That starts tonight in Pittsburgh.
For being the most populated county in the entire nation with about 10 million people living here, Los Angeles County has long been considered to be undergoverned. The structure of LA County's government hasn't changed since 1912. That could change in less than a month if voters approve Measure G. Here to explain the possible changes and to discuss so much more is Supervisor Lindsay Horvath, chair of the LA County Board of Supervisors. It's so good to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Measure G, if it passes, if the voters pass it, it's going to do quite a few things. It's going to change the county charter. And two of the big things are the CEO, make that an elected position, but then also expand the Board of Supervisors from 5 to 9. Explain to LA County voters who maybe aren't involved, you know, in county government, who aren't engaged in it, why this matters, why this is such a big deal.
Okay, so when it passes, we're not just asking the CEO to run for office. I think that's been a common misconception, so thanks for saying it that way so I can clarify the record.
Please.
What we are doing is separating out the executive authority that the board currently enjoys from the legislative authority that the board currently enjoys. I think we learned in elementary civics that there's an executive, a legislative, and a judicial branch of government. Mm-hmm. Typically at the federal, state, and local levels, except in LA County, where the board is the executive, the legislative, and quasi-judicial. So separating that authority out creates the check and balance that LA County desperately needs to get things done. And as you indicated, we'll increase the number of seats on the Board of Supervisors from 5 to 9. So we create the opportunity for more diverse representation at the table, more voices in the conversation, have that conversation actually look like the diversity of Los Angeles County.
What will having more supervisors do for me if I live in the county, right? If I'm in Rancho Palos Verdes, I've got no gas, my house is slipping into the water, I live near Castaic, there's a really smelly dump, I have homeless encampments on my street. How does that help me?
So more supervisors brings the government closer to the people. Right now, 5 seats for 10 million people just doesn't make sense, but it isn't doing the job that Los Angeles County residents are expecting. Bringing that government closer to the people so they're more responsive, they're more engaged on the very local, hyper-local issues that often drive people crazy in their neighborhoods, but also making sure that the services that the county is supposed to deliver, often the county is the social safety net, but for some of the unincorporated areas in our county, we are also the municipal services for them. So we provide, you know, pave sidewalks and roads and do all of the city services too. So bringing that government closer to the people makes your elected officials more accountable to you and makes it easier for you to access them.
I'm curious about the number 9, because as it stands with the 5 of you, you're each representing about 2 million people.
That's right.
If you bring it to 9, it's just a little over a million. I mean, like, why not even more?
That's a possibility. I think we started with 9 because it has been studied for decades. People are in Los Angeles are quite familiar with this number 9 and what it would mean for the Los Angeles County region. So that's where we're starting. We're also starting there because we've committed to the voters that we're doing this within our existing budget. We are not raising taxes to make this happen. This is not about government bloat. This is about realigning the resources that already exist within our government to make it work better for the people. And that means we're able to, you know, work with the funding that already is assigned to the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors, as well as the positions that exist within the CEO's office. There are hundreds of positions in that office, hundreds of millions of dollars already spent on administering the work of the Board of Supervisors. We can spend that money more efficiently and effectively for the people.
So if there's no taxpayer money, no taxes to pay for implementation of this, where's the money going to come from?
No new taxes. We're going to use the existing funding. Right now, the county has a $49 billion budget.
Right.
And this question came up when we were talking about it as the board. Well, how are we going to pay for it?
Right. Holly Mitchell had concerns.
Yes. And,
yeah.
And in fact, they brought forward a motion for our auditor controller to do an independent investigation into this charter amendment and what it would cost. And the total that he came up with was $8 million. $8 million isn't nothing,
but
out of a $49 million budget, when we're already spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do the work of the Board of Supervisors, in order to do that work better, I think that's a steal. And we want to make sure that we are delivering services in the way that people expect. I have heard countless times that people don't know what the county does or how the work of the county impacts them. And if they do know what the county is, accessing those services is incredibly challenging. And the way that that work is done is incredibly opaque. One of the other key components of this charter amendment is that we are bringing out of the shadows the county budgeting process. Mm. So to this day, for a $49 billion budget, no department director ever has to present their budget publicly to the Board of Supervisors.
And that's another component of this.
Yes. Those conversations all happen behind closed doors with the appointed CEO and the department directors. So having those conversations in a publicly noticed meeting out in the public for members of the public to be able to understand what is actually in that budget and where their taxpayer dollars are going, that's never happened before. That will start this spring when this measure passes.
This county CEO, the elected position, is kind of like a mayor.
Yes. Thank you for saying it that way.
With veto power?
It's called a county elected executive. We didn't want to call it a mayor because we already have a mayor of Los Angeles. We don't need to be confusing.
That's my job over at LA City Hall.
But what we are trying to do is separate out that authority to create that healthy tension that exists, the check and balance that gets things moving.
As opposed to somebody who is appointed by the board members. So, again, would this elected CEO have veto power over decisions that the board makes?
Some. But when the way this was constructed, it was to be a check and balance truly in both areas. So
right.
While the elected executive can hire department directors, they need to be confirmed by the board. If they want to fire a director, that person can be reinstated by a two-thirds vote of the board if they want to keep them. The county elected executive would take first crack at drafting the budget that gets proposed to the public, much like the mayor does in Los Angeles mm-hmm. or the governor does for the state. But then the legislature or the city council then kind of get their bite at how do we make sure that those priorities align district by district. And so the board would have to approve the proposed budget. But having a $49 billion budget drafted by an appointed CEO who does not have the authority to hire and fire department directors, does not have the authority to tell department directors how to administer their work. Performance evaluations are also done by the board. So if you want to change how the department is doing its work, you have to have a publicly noticed meeting of all 5 supervisors, or the department directors do what is commonly called walking the 8th floor, going to 5 different offices, shopping for answers to their most pressing questions to solve urgent things.
Here's your next 5 hours.
Yes,
right?
To solve urgent things like homelessness and criminal justice issues and some of the things that you consistently read and hear about in our news. I mean, we need a better, more efficient system. This government was created, as you said, in 1912 when there were more cows than people. We are now in the 21st century with far different realities, and we need a government that's responsive to it.
This person doesn't end up just being a scapegoat, though. Like, oh, no, that wasn't our problem. That was the county CEO. You should elect somebody else. Don't worry about us over here.
I think there's finger pointing that exists between the city council and the mayor. There's always finger pointing that happens in government. I think we have changed that culture with this election cycle, and we've seen on issues like homelessness much more collaboration happening from all different layers of government. But I think what actually will happen in the county is you'll finally have somebody who on a daily basis has the authority invested by the people because they're voted into that office to either advance the policies that the board has brought forward, so things like making our homeless services system more efficient and effective, closing Men's Central Jail, improving the conditions in our probation halls and camps for our kids. These are the kinds of things that we have been focused on motion after motion and have seen very little action. This person will be able to, on a daily basis, move things forward and cut through the bureaucratic red tape that exists, the bureaucracy and the institutional inertia in that bureaucracy is amazing. And I personally couldn't imagine, you know, if I have the pleasure of serving, you know, all the terms that are possible for me, I couldn't imagine spending 12 years trying to work within this bureaucracy to get the big things done that we are responsible for doing.
Hold that thought. We are going to continue our conversation with the chair of the Board of Supervisors for LA County, Lindsay Horvath, when we come back.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. Mike Simpson in for Charles Feldman, along with Margaret Carrera. With us, LA County Supervisor Lindsay Horvath. We were just talking about these proposed changes to the board, but plenty more to get to because there's a lot on your ballot. How do you feel about crime? Prop 36 gets talked about as a tough-on-crime measure. It would see some rollbacks of 47. And last month, the board voted 3-1 to take a position, oppose Prop 36. What is the reasoning there? And do you feel now kind of on the other side of things, given polling that shows that, A, this could overwhelmingly pass, and B, when you ask people to name a measure, this is really one of the ones that they can actually come up with?
I think Prop 36 is going to be incredibly difficult on the county's budget. And I appreciate public safety is the number one responsibility of any elected official at any level of government, but especially local officials. So I take that very seriously. We are now asking our law enforcement officials who are already spread thin, too few in number, to respond to even more crimes. And we're asking our already weakened and damaged facilities and the people who are running them to take care of more people within them if should Prop 36 pass without one additional cent being invested in the county to do so. I think that's going to be an incredible challenge, and I think we're going to have some unmet expectations as a result.
You know, people are worried out there, though, about crime, right? They're worried about repeat offenders. They want homelessness. They want something done. We had our DA's debate, and you all came up, the supervisors, in their plans. Supervisor Barger endorsed Nathan Hochman. I think you were a Gascon fan 4 years ago. What are you now?
I'm supporting George Gascon in his reelection, but the issue of safety in our communities has to be addressed by actually responding to what we're seeing in our communities. And we have seen that our law enforcement officials can't respond to all the things that they are getting called to do. So we have to have different kinds of responses for different kinds of issues, and especially stop asking our law enforcement officials to respond to things that are social service and mental health crises on our streets when they aren't necessarily equipped to respond to those issues.
Right. But you also have what we have seen just today. We had the leadership for 7-Elevens, right? And a bunch of the owners given like a $1 million check to get Prop 36 passed. I'm sure you've seen all those flash mob robberies, these groups of like these young people on bikes and going in and they're stealing stuff and they're attacking, you know, these clerks.
Yes, and
that's what people are concerned about in a lot of ways.
As we all should be. That should not be happening in our communities. And when I speak with our law enforcement leaders about what they are doing to address these issues, one of the things that they have surfaced is the social media tools that are being used to coordinate these young people. Mm-hmm. So, and yet that has rarely been part of the conversation. And there are as far as I understand, no consequences currently for people who are using those platforms to coordinate this kind of criminal activity. So there, we also have to address what is helping to facilitate the kinds of activity that we are seeing now that is incredibly troubling.
So you would like to see some sort of prosecution on that level, right? On the level of these apps being able to coordinate these types of flash mobs.
I would like to see accountability there for sure.
And George Gascon is the one to bring that kind of accountability?
I think
does he need to do more or things differently the next 4 years than he's done over these 4 years?
If he gets reelected.
Because sometimes, and I asked him this during the debate, sometimes you can lean too far in one direction or you come in with a mandate and then maybe the voters don't quite think that way 4 years later. Maybe they want to pull you back just a little bit.
Well, I think that he is responding to the data that he is seeing. What we have seen is that the data shows that most of our major levels of crime are down, and the responses historically to these crimes have not delivered the results that we've expected. And in fact, we've spent a lot more money on the quote-unquote solutions that actually aren't solving the crimes. I also would say that George Gascon is the district attorney who's supposed to prosecute crime, but the enforcement of laws is not something that he is directly responsible for. We also have to have law enforcement officials enforcing the laws in our community, so there are cases to prosecute. The system has to work together in that way. And so it's while I appreciate that he has a role to play, he's not in charge of all of it. And I think that we have to look differently at how we are responding to the crime that we're seeing in our community and what sort of responses can happen. But more importantly, how we can move upstream to prevent the things from happening in the first place.
How does that get done? What needs to happen to make that all work?
So obviously, some of it is social services provision and activity planning. We are working to stand up the Department of Youth Development in Los Angeles County, for example. So instead of kids feeling like gang activity or what they see in their community as a place where they can go to find community among young people.
As opposed to joining a gang.
Yeah, creating an alternative for them so they actually have a structure that supports them and empowers them to follow their dreams and have a future that everybody can, you know, be excited about. Not every kid has that kind of opportunity. So making sure that we're investing in family supports, in supports for our young people, and not making those kinds of crimes of opportunity the reason why people, the place where people turn in order to support themselves.
Okay, we got to take another quick break. We'll be right back to wrap up this edition of Countdown 2024 with the chair of the LA County Board of Supervisors, Lindsay Horvath.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Countdown 2024, along with Margaret Carrero. I'm Mike Simpson.
And we are here with LA County Supervisor and Chair of the Board, Lindsay Horvath, remaining with us for the remainder of the show. So, kind of switching gears, going back to Measure G, there's another component of this about an independent ethics commission. Talk a little bit about that and why that is so important for LA County.
So that's a signature part of this package of reforms. We want to make sure that there's a body within county government, which has never existed before, an ethics commission to hold elected leaders accountable to the values that that the public expects them to, you know, stand up to when they run for office.
You know, because you said the word accountability, I think about all the money we've spent on homelessness. And let's try and get this in before we run out of time, because there's a sales tax for homelessness on the ballot. Double the portion that's set aside and make it permanent, right? There was a poll recently that says, yeah, it might pass. It might get over the 51% that's needed. But the second question, the follow-up was, do you think it's going to make massive reductions in the problem? People said no. Overwhelmingly, they said no. So we're kind of in this position of, yeah, sure, okay, fine, I'll tax myself again, but it's not working.
Well, I've sat myself at every table regarding homelessness since I've become a supervisor. I'm on the LASA board, the La Casa Commission, the executive committee that was newly created. I mean, there's more bureaucracy on this subject than anybody should ever see. And I think that's the biggest part of this problem. When you create a new body to tackle one piece of the problem, then everybody can point in every which direction and say, oh, I'm not responsible for that piece. And I think it's absolutely unacceptable. And more reform absolutely needs to come to the homeless services system. And I am working on that right now. And I will say Supervisor Catherine Barger has been a partner with me at the county, but she's also appointed herself to the LASA Commission as well. And I think both of us, we brought forward a motion at the county to do an audit of LASA.
Yeah, should we be auditing all this all the time? It's so much money.
We're currently auditing right now. And I think being able to answer basic questions, how much money are we spending, to what end, in what region is it being spent, and what are the measurable outcomes that we're seeing? These are basic questions that we should be able to answer. And in fact, that's part of what's in Measure A and was missing from the past measure. Making sure that kind of accountability comes to how the dollars are spent is critical. And I expect that the county board is going to be bringing even more accountability in terms of ordinances to talk about how those dollars are being spent. You know, we have to see more beds being opened up and available. We have to match them to services. The past measure only delivered services, and that was critical. We saw that providing service to people obviously makes a difference, but services without housing is not a solution. And Measure A now marries housing solutions with services in that one measure. So we're doing both. And that's what gets people off the streets.
Lindsay Horvath, Chair of the LA County Board of Supervisors. Thank you so much for joining us here on Countdown 2024. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
On Friday's Countdown 2024, we are hitting both ends of the political spectrum, talking with Democratic Congresswoman Katie Porter about her potential run for California governor and with the Trump campaign's national spokesperson on the former president's unusual weekend rally right here in Southern California. Remember, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you happen to miss a show, you can catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show. We also have a replay at 8 o'clock.